All right. Thank you for that scripture reading, Brother Pichardo. Those were the wrong verses. And it is not your fault. I text him and Brother John the verses each week. John needs them because it's not easy to interpret them. It's actually chapter 11 of Hebrews. You probably thought, well, what are we preaching on? How many of you, when the verses are read, you're thinking about what's going to be preached on, right? I remember the old building, Joseph read a verse on hell. One verse. He got up, and they're like, what are we going to do today? It's about fire and forever. It's like, well, that actually wasn't the message. So look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you will, and we'll look at the right verses. He was doing so well, I didn't want to get up in the middle of it and kind of like mess him up. So that's my fault. It's not his. And the Bible's all good, but we're not preaching on that passage. So same verse numbers. It's just chapter number 11, okay? Let's look at this. In verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now we are in our series, and this will be the last message on desiring growth. And it's not been your typical just pick a subject, grow in this, grow in that. I just wanted some principles for us to understand that will help us as we are going forward if we are going to grow in our faith. And I want to look at one final thing I think will help us today, and it's about making decisions. Do you know decisions have serious consequences? Or they can have serious consequences. I read a story of a pharmacist. His name was Robert Courtney. By the way, he's not someone you would want to be associated with. He had a pharmacy where he provided the medicine that was needed for chemotherapy. And so there was a clinic that he provided all of that to. And so he did that for several years. Some of the patients towards the end there started to realize that as they were going in, that they weren't feeling the effects that they thought they would feel for someone with cancer going through chemotherapy. They also noticed that it seemed like the treatments weren't really doing anything. One of these brought this to the attention of I don't know if it was the doctor authorities, and so they set up a situation, and they ordered him to bring some of the supplies, and they took and they measured them and found out that they only had really 28% to 30% of the potency that they should have. What he had done for several years, in fact, 98,000 prescriptions affecting 4,200 people, what he was doing was he was diluting it so that he could make more money. And it worked. He made over $20 million. But that was a very horrific decision. Many people died because of his decision. And by the way, it didn't work out for him. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison. His decision not only affected his life, it affected the life and the lives of others. The point I'm trying to point out here is their decisions have serious consequences, and decisions determine how our life goes. Someone has said that life is filled with decisions, and the decisions that you make will determine the direction of the life that you live. As we look at Moses and you look at his life, it was a very amazing life. He was born under a time when the Egyptians were trying to keep the Israelites as servants and slaves, and they were concerned that they were growing in population too heavy, so they started killing the male boys. And Moses was supposed to be put to death, but his mom decided that she wasn't going to do that. And so she hid him for a while and then decided that it was coming to the point when she would not be able to hide him. So you know the story. She put him in some bulrushes and put him in the river and just figured that's better than putting him to death, and put him in the river. And just so happens, as he's going down the river, Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby floating. And God worked it out to where the baby came up and Pharaoh's daughter grabbed the baby. And you know how it is, you know, that a baby. And the baby cried at the right time. And the motherly instincts of Pharaoh's daughter kicked in. And so she raised Moses as her own. So think of it this way. As all the other Israelites are living in misery and all the other Israelites are being ill-treated, here's Moses, an Israelite, living in the palace. Here's Moses, who history tells us would have been the one of the leaders, if not maybe even a Pharaoh, and he had everything laid out before him. And I won't go through the whole story, but you understand how he realized it, and he sees the affliction, and he decides, I can't just sit around and do nothing anymore. And so Moses makes a decision. He gives up that life. He gives up everything he could have had if he would have just put blinders on. And, of course, he had to go live in the desert, and God used him to get the people out of Egypt. He made two great decisions that helped determine his destiny. The first one he did, and this isn't the message, this is introduction, he refused the allurement and attraction of the world. Verse 24 tells us, in the right chapter, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By the way, there was a lot of good that came with that. There was a lot of prosperity and life of ease that would have come with that. He could have had everything that most people would have grasped for, but he chose to reject it. He knew it wasn't the right thing. He also not only just chose to get away with the allurement and the attractions of everything he could have had, he was, by that decision, was a choosing affliction and association with God's people. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, it was a two-pronged decision, as it were. It was a decision to give up what he could have, but he was not only losing that, now he was going to be on the bottom rung. Now he was going to be on the end of those who were being abused, those that were ill-treated. The Bible says, in affliction. Now, why did he do that? Well, look at 26, part of the verse there. He says, because he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, think of that. He thought it was better to suffer for making the right decision than to have this life of ease. He said, even though it's harder on this earth, it's a better decision, it's a better life, and it's a better reward. That's how it should be. We have to make our decisions based on spiritual principles and not temporal. How many people have wrecked their lives and done all kinds of crazy things because they're trying to gain what they can get on this earth? And they're giving up their character. They're giving up their integrity because they want something on this earth. They have to make the right kind of decisions to be the right kind of person. How should we view our life? Well, we've talked about it a few weeks ago. We need to have a biblical or an eternal perspective. And by the way, our society does not. You see, what's going on in our society, all the stupidity, All the nonsense is because although not everybody in our country was Christians at one point, we used to have at least Judeo-Christian respect in our country. But see, once we disassociate, once our particularly our schools severed their ties with the Bible, now there is no truth. I find it comical and hypocritical, and I mentioned it on Thursday night, that this week is this month is Women's History Month. And yet a Supreme Court nominee can't even define what a woman is. Let me explain this to you. That's ignorance of the highest degree. Fact of the matter is, she was nominated primarily because she was a woman. Whoever asked her the question, you know, can you define what a woman is? She said no. And she, excuse me? And then the most, I'm not a biologist. Well, sweetheart, I'm not an astrophysicist, but I know what space is. Okay, I'm not a dentist, but I know what a tooth is. I would have asked her, then what are you? Do you know what you are? By the way, our society, and I'm getting off here for a second, but we'll be fine. We are so far off the moorings of not just biblical principles. I don't expect everybody to live like a Christian who's not a Christian. We don't even have common sense in this country. You know, you want to, everywhere you're looking around, celebrate women's history, and a guy just won the women's swimming championship, and no one will stand up and say, he's a guy. Go ahead, put that on your Twitter account and see what they do. What's wrong with us? I got to get back to where we're at. By the way, USA named that guy that Biden put in office. He's one of their Women of the Year. So women, here's what it is. If you want to be celebrated, a guy's got to do it for you. Are you okay with that? We won't say anything. I'll say it. And you know what? It is so stupid. I'm sorry, you don't like that. Ignorant that no one will say anything. I know what a woman is. I'm married to one. I know what a guy is. I are one. I don't know how we're confused about that. And it gets worse. What are we talking about? I don't know. Biblical worldview. But we, as you say, well, I'm a Christian. I would never get caught up in that stuff. I get it. But we won't let the Bible dictate our lives. We won't allow the Bible to give us a framework with which to live our lives. It's because we don't have a clear focus on the person and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we're not totally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be all over the map. We won't even have a vision for our lives to accomplish anything for Him. We'll just sit back in the weeds. We heard the story before, but several hundred years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. As they started to branch out, they established a town. And then the next year, they established a government. And then they decided after a couple years that they wanted to branch out and build roads and start heading out several miles and start establishing there. And then that next year, they got rid of the governor because they didn't like that plan. That was too dangerous for them. So here were these people that had enough courage to come to America, and a few years later, they wouldn't even branch out. That's like the majority of us as Christians, isn't it? We've accepted Christ as our Savior, but we won't have the vision or the focus to move forward in faith in our life. Let's get back to Moses. Moses made a decision. Moses' decision wasn't that he would do what's best for him. He would do what God wanted him to do and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11:27, I like this verse. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, how do you see something that's not visible, right? I mean, there are people who say they have invisible friends. That's right, isn't it? We look at them concerning. We don't physically see God, but we know he's there. But how did Moses see him who's invisible? Because his focus was on him. He purposely looked on him. And because of that, he can make the proper decisions. Many years ago, in 1952, there was a woman named Florence Chadwick. She was going she was trying to be the first woman to swim from Catalina to the shore over here. That's, 26 miles or something? By the way, she was the first female swimmer. I don't know if she's female, we're not sure anymore, but that swam the English Channel both ways. But she went, and it was a very cold day, and there was a lot of fog there, and they had a little boat following her, so in case something happens, they could pull her in. And she couldn't tell where she was, but the guy in the boat was telling her, "We're getting real close, we're getting real close, come on, don't give in." And really, not far from the shore, really less than a mile from the shore, she gave in. A few months later, on a clearer day, she did it, and she was able to go through without any problems. And she said, "The reason I couldn't make it the last time and I made it this time is because as I got closer and the fatigue was coming in, I could see the shore." She goes, "And no matter how tired I was, I'm like, I'm close, let's keep going." She goes, "The first time, I didn't have any focus. I couldn't see the shore, so I didn't know how long I had to go, so I lost my focus and I gave in." That's how we are when we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. And when we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, and here's the point I'm going to make, we're not going to be able to make the kind of decisions we should, the kind of decisions that Moses made. Because Moses had that right focus and his right sight, he was seeing him who was invisible, he could give up everything he could have in the palace, he could give up the prosperity, he could give up the position, he could give up the power. Not just give all that up, but accept the affliction, to accept the endurance. By the way, Moses is a great man, but you do realize his life was hard. The first 40 years was good. He was in the palace. The next 40 years, he was in the desert. The last 40 years, he was leading some people around that did nothing but gripe and complain, and he was stuck in the wilderness because of their bad decision. You say, what a waste. No, it wasn't a waste. He saw him who was invisible. And so he was able to make hard decisions, but decisions that were right. What about us? Let me give us a couple decisions I think we need to make very briefly if we're going to be able to be what God wants us to be. The first thing is, you know, you really need to decide what is really important to you. What is important to you? That's your decision. Moses made that decision. It's not the pleasures of sin for a season. It's doing what I am supposed to do. And let me just say this. This is a one-time decision, yes, but it's a decision we must constantly be making over and over in our life. We are faced with temptations. We are faced with choices. And as we look at those choices, we're going to have to always go back to, what decision am I going to make? But why am I making it? And if you're going to make the right decision, it's going to be because you've decided what's important to you. And let me say this, what's important to us is not just something that comes out of our mouth. It's something which gets into our schedule. Here's a husband that says, "You know what, my marriage is important to me," but spends no time with his wife, spends no time working on that marriage. Spends no time investing in that relationship. "Well, my children are important to me," but you spend all your time somewhere working. You spend all your time at your hobbies. You spend all your time with your friends. I don't care how important you say your children are. They're not. And by the way, if you're married and you're younger married, you have children, they're the priority, not your buddies. Well, I have a bunch of single friends. Love them, but you don't need to hang around them. You're on a whole different level. But what's important to you? What kind of Christianity are you going to have? Very important. Because the things we do in life will really be determined how successful they are by what we do. I didn't I don't I didn't really like this guy. It's my son-in-law's team. Well, not anymore because they stink, the Patriots. I wasn't a big Tom Brady guy. Why? Because I love Jesus. I'm a Rams fan. Okay. Hey, that actually worked out for us this year, right? The misery's over. But anyhow, I wasn't. But, you know, I respect the guy now because I like people that know what they're doing and will put their effort and go for it. And, you know, he's always made it really clear in his life what the two things that are important to him are, his family and football. Okay? And it seems like he's doing okay with both of those things. But, see, sometimes as Christians, we're all over the map. We say what's important to us, but you know, how the guy plays, he's like 75 years old. But because this is what he wants to do, he puts the effort and the time in to be in shape. Yep. Look, if I'm a Christian, I'm like, you know what's important to me? My relationship with Jesus Christ. Yep. I'm going to put my time into that. Yep. My family's important. I'm going to put time into my family. Serving the Lord's important. I'm going to put time serving the Lord. So you need to determine that, like Moses determined, because Moses had the right focus, it was, in a sense, easy to make that decision to say, I'm leaving the palace, I'm going to be with my people, and I'm going to do what I can. Very important. So you have to determine what's important to you. You also need to determine and decide what are you emotional about. Colossians, and I'll explain what that means because some of us get emotional and we throw things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. What do you love? By the way, love is, again, love is not a feeling. And I use the word emotion because it's, but what do you love? What's you emotional about? You love something, you get emotional about it, right? You know, we get emotional, we cry when our team loses. Man, most of us, especially if you're from Northern California, you just cry a lot. It's like, I don't know, my boys, and there's a big game. Let's go watch the game together. Like, so he wanted to watch the UCLA game on Friday. I don't even care about college basketball. But I'm like, he likes North Carolina. I'm like, well, I'm local. I like UCLA. They lost. I didn't cry, you know. Okay, I did just for a little bit, but I got over it. But, you know, whatever it is, we put our affection on things that aren't really important. And it messes up our life. It doesn't go well. Listen, those are just things. I get it. I'm not saying you can't enjoy those things, but at the end of the day, they're just things. But what we really need to do is make sure that our decision for what's really important, what we really love, set your affection on things above. Because those things are of great value. Those things don't fade away. Those things you don't lose, right? What do you love? And not just with our mouth. You want to know what you love, and I've said this over, what gets your time? See, if you were to sit down and take a pen and say, you know, Pastor Myers, here are the five things I love, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? Then I'm like, okay, that's great. Thanks for sharing. Now, let's go here. Let's look at your schedule and see the five things that get the most amount of your time. Don't count sleep because you got to sleep overnight. I get all that, all right? You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I wonder how close those would line up, right? Because if they don't line up, then really what you really love most are these things. Yeah. We got to make that decision. What gets your time? What do you get excited about? You know, people come to church like, I don't think we should be excited. I heard somebody say amen. Okay, listen, I went to a football game this year. I thought it was a Chargers home game. It was a Raider home game. Those guys are crazy. The guys sitting next to me were a little bit, of course, the Chargers were killing them. They were a little bit off kilter. I'm like, oh, my soul. And then when they were just nuts. There'd probably be some of those guys coming to church like, church should be quiet. Well, you're excited about Jesus? You're some type of fanatic. Yeah, I know. That's what a fan is. A fan's a fanatic. And we don't get excited about Jesus. You know, well, I just don't think we should talk about politics and religion. Okay, I don't want to talk about those two. I want to talk about Jesus. Okay, what do you care about? And you know, you take them, well, church is, I get it. And then you need to decide, what do you really want? What do you really want? And I'm going to just think of this from a spiritual aspect. What do you want out of your Christianity? Now, I don't want that to be a selfish thing, right? Well, I want Jesus to give me this, that. This isn't prosperity doctrine, okay? If you get saved, you're not going to be healthy for the rest of your life, and God's going to give you $1 million. We're not doing that. By the way, if he does give you $1 million, share. Yeah. All right, you know. I'm not saying that. But look, what do you really want out of your, you know, do you want to be close to the Lord? Do you want to feel that God's a part of your life? Yeah. Do you want to feel that God's doing something? Well, there's things we need to do as well. Yeah. There's things that need to be a part of our life. And if that's not a really big deal to us, then it's really not going to be a reality. Here's the point, we'll be done. I hope that you would seek to serve God and pursue him in your relationship with him with the same passion that you pursue other things. And look, I get it. I was in Bible college. When I was in Bible college, we had bus routes like we have now. And ours, you know, I'm not saying ours were so far away. Mine was like, my bus route was 50 miles from the church in another state, the far south north side of Chicago. And so we had to put in a lot of time and effort. And we had a guy that was helping, and like, and I'm not trying to be mean here. The guy was just, in my mind, I thought, this guy's lazy. He wouldn't help with anything. Like, you know, we would clean the buses after we were done. Hey, you want to help me sweep the bus? No. Okay, I'll do it. No big deal. Hey, you want to come out and visit a little extra? You know, no. He was just putting his time in because he had to. He was in college. And I thought, for a while, I thought, this guy just seems lazy. Nice guy, by the way. I got a job my last year at college working at overnight transportation, loading trucks on the dock. This guy worked there as well. He was the boss's favorite because the guy could work. The guy would hustle. I was impressed with the way he worked. That wasn't easy work. But the guy was just spot on. And it just hit me like, why doesn't he put that same kind of passion into serving the Lord? See, we pursue things with this dogged passion, and I'm okay, but do we serve the Lord and pursue him with that same kind of passion? You know, look, when you were courting your wife or your husband, now you're like probably trying to stay away from them. Okay, we can fix that. But man, you couldn't wait to be with them. And now with cell phones, you text them all the time. And boy, you just all this stuff. And it hurts you to be, and you're just pursuing them and pursuing them and pursuing them. Why? You wanted that relationship. You wanted to be all in. Why don't we pursue the Lord like that? You say, well, I can't text Jesus. Email him. Look, he texted us right here. Okay. But I'm just saying, let's have that kind of passion. But let me just say this. You decide on the passion you have. It's your decision. Yeah. What's the point today? The point today is we'll be the Christians that we decide to be. Yeah. We'll be as close to Jesus as we decide to be. We will, our love for God will be as deep as we decide to be. And the things that are important in our life will be there because we've decided those things are important. Let me just say this and we're done. So how do I make sure those are all in place? Let's go back to Moses. Ready? He saw him who was invisible. He had his focus squarely on Jesus Christ. And because of that, all these other things are going to fall into line. How's your focus today? What's important to you? What do you love? What are you trying to get out of life in your Christianity? I think if we have the proper focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we'll be okay. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute if we could. Thank you for listening. Bow our head and close our eyes just for 1 minute. I want us to think. I don't want us just to come here. This isn't a TED talk, okay? This isn't just some type of a motivational deal. I want us to think about our lives. What do we want our lives to be like? What's important to us? They're only going to be important as we make the decision to make them important, and then we put the effort in to follow through. Are you seeing him who is invisible? And by the way, you know what's hard about seeing him that's invisible? There's a lot of visible things that cloud our sight, isn't there? There's a lot of things that come our way. You know, sometimes it's like, excuse me, it's like looking through a dirty window. Years ago, one of our cars, we didn't drive it very often. We had it was a Ford, and it wasn't working very well. And we didn't drive it very often. The window was dirty. We weren't taking care of it. And then the windshield wiper blades were destroyed. I had to drive the car around the corner for something. I got in it. I couldn't see. I was driving towards the sun, and it was so dirty. And I said, well, let me just, there was no water in the tank for the windows, and the little windshield wiper blades weren't doing anything. I'm like, man, I had to get out of the car and throw water on it. What's clouding your vision of Jesus Christ that's keeping you from making these key decisions which will lead you in your life and your journey on this earth? I hope we make the right decisions, because we'll never grow to become the Christian that God wants us to be unless we make those proper decisions. And by the way, it's a struggle for all of us. I get it. Something we need to almost reaffirm on a daily basis. Understood. Maybe you're here this morning. A lot of this stuff is new to you. But here's the key decision you need to make. You need to make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whether or not a person goes to heaven depends on that decision. Let me ask you this question to make it simple. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure, without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? With nobody looking, you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure. I don't have that assurance, but that's something I would like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? With nobody looking, just raise your hand and put it down real quick. Let me see it. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but that's something. Yes, see you back there. Anybody else? Let's stand together if we may. If God spoke to you, the piano's going to play. Why don't you come? Sometimes we have these things in order. Sometimes we know what we want and we have the right decision, and yet we get clouded. And what happens is we start to drift a little bit. We need to just come back to the center. Need to refocus in.